Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
I don't know, it may just be me, but I really got a feeling like we could catch fire and have a great season, huh? Now, who's with me?
Woo! The electric in the air! Yeah!
Thank you for that show of enthusiasm.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Doug Stanhope, and if you're listening to this broadcast, don't take my word for it. I got tricked into this in a merch booth.
It's the Homemade Broadcast.
The what podcast?
The Homemade Broadcast.
Homemade?
Homemade Broadcast.
The Homemade Podcast.
Yes, sir.
This is very homemade right here. This shit right here got homemade.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5... 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioCP.com. My name is Will Koontz. This is Darude. This is Sandstorm, an homage to an old friend who also does a podcast. My name is, did I say my name? Will Koontz, yeah. I got Zach Townsend with me this week, special guest.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Zach called me up. He goes, hey, I got some podcasting ideas I want to do. And I said, oh, okay,
no,
well, I'm
going to
record
a
podcast today. So why don't you
Will called me.
By.
He said, please do the podcast, please.
He wanted to play Sandstorm.
That wasn't my idea. That was your idea.
Certainly was not, I assure you.
Then why are you smiling right now?
Because it's funny.
Why?
Do you love it?
Do you guys love it?
Yeah, this is the Homemade
Who
Broadcast.
Who listens to this song, like, just hanging out, by the way, by themselves?
There's definitely
what kind of people.
I think I saw this as one of the most downloaded songs ever.
Oh yeah, no,
it's
the
one of
views
the most popular
is crazy.
One.
The views
yeah.
are crazy. On
this was it's an innovative tune for sure. Before what's the Skrillex and all those people? There was Darude.
Yeah, Darude is on fire.
He's I guess he's had more than this song, but I've never heard another Darude song.
Show me him.
Show him the person?
No,
I can't move
no.
this computer.
Yeah, never mind.
Or you mean
the
songs?
Yeah, but no, we don't really. We spent way too much time on Sandstorm. But seriously, if you listen to Sandstorm more than like once a year, watch list for you, 100%.
It's a great video. It appears to be some sort of theft that took place, and a girl is carrying a briefcase.
This could be heist
from
music. Yeah, like maybe like a robbery, like a Robin Hood heist. Steal mm-hmm. from the rich, give to the poor.
Yeah, and there's just guys...
High adrenaline.
Invest.
Jason Statham-ish.
Chasing her. First off, I don't really like how it's a very petite young lady running in a forest, and she's running away from this huge...
I'm surprised she's not marching.
Guy.
You said it's a woman, right?
Yes. No,
she's not
running.
Marching.
But this guy could easily catch her, like, no problem. He can run way faster than her, you could just tell. But she's...
I bet you the guy can't march harder than her.
Are you doing a woman's march joke right now?
No.
You're not?
I don't joke.
Now
I spit facts.
You had...
Women march. Women be marching.
That's true. You had, did you go down last year and interview ladies? I know you were talking about doing that.
We were going to do that, I remember. But yeah. No, I did not. I would have gotten in trouble.
I'm afraid.
I would have gotten hit, for sure.
I was afraid last year, and this year in January, they're doing it again, 2019. That's going to be a volatile ground, man.
Last year, you probably could have done it and just got hit, smacked or something. This year, if you did it, you'd probably get fired from all of your jobs.
Just going down and now it depends how you do it.
Even if it's just the slightest bit of trying to be funny or trying to put a funny spin on it.
I think everybody too is so on edge.
Oh, 100%.
You know,
it's that's hard. What I'm saying. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it's just everybody's and everybody. You don't want to do anything wrong.
I went down to the
even if you think it's funny, somebody doesn't think it's funny.
I went down to the Trump rally when he was here in Tampa just to see what the mood was like and to get audio and stuff.
Yeah, a.k.a. Will wanted to say the N-word somewhere.
No.
Yeah, you told me in the car.
I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
That's not true.
Will said the N-word so many times at the Trump rally.
No, I didn't. But anyway.
You came back out of breath.
Anyway, everybody was so on edge there that I talked to. I wore, you know, a bone shirt and everything to try to make it seem like I was media. I mean, I am media, but legit media. You know, and I didn't want to, one of my favorite thing to do was when I did find a black person at the Trump rally and they would talk to me, I would go, what's Thanksgiving like for you? It must be hell at home, having to be a Trump supporter and, you know, going home as a African-American person of color.
Yeah, I'm sure you said, sure you said African-American, Will.
I said person of color, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I know what word you did say, buddy.
But,
Will said the N-word.
No, I didn't.
N-word Will is what we call him at the bone. Geez.
But everybody was so on edge, it was kind of uncomfortable having to talk to these people. I was afraid they were going to take it the wrong way. And I went and talked to some, you know, supporters. I went and talked to some of the protesters. And everybody's adrenaline is so high, especially the protesters, because they're in, you know, hostile territory. Couldn't.
Because they're all retards.
Well, you know, that's arguable, too. But
most of them are. They think like Paul Blart Mall Cop is like based on a true story. I think it's like a documentary. Those like the people.
Well, I had the one guy who was the local Tampa Black Lives Matter chapter. I was just you know, what are you doing here? You know, and it seems like they took point of views that they were like advocating for open borders and stuff, which I guess is a mainstream viewpoint now. I don't know, but it seems like it's just whatever could hurt the president, whatever position he holds, they take the opposite, no matter what it is.
I'm for open borders. Borders and books. The store. We need more bookstores. That's what
I'm so glad you came and did this podcast today.
Open waters. That's actually, you know what? Open borders. How about we don't stop there? Open carry. Open container.
I think Trump is pro those.
Open
things.
Water. Sharks. I want to legalize sharks.
Yeah. They're
maybe.
Legal already.
Okay. Wow. Well, then why is Shark Week only 1 week? How come Shark Week's only? How come black people get a whole month, but sharks only get a week?
I don't know. That's a fair
exactly.
question. Maybe you start a petition.
Open water, baby.
Start that petition, the change.org, or did Trump shut that down already yet? I don't know. Doesn't care what anybody thinks.
Gosh, my back already hurts from carrying this podcast.
Yeah, you're just rambling. Are you kidding me?
That's what people want to hear. They want to hear me ramble.
So, Zach, what have you been up to, man? Speaking of.
Not a whole lot, brother. Let's see. We were talking about
the hard times. You're
yeah, but let's not get into that because you know what? First of all, I don't like your fans knowing too much about me. You got psychos that listen to this. You know who you are, Mother Trucker George.
Love Mother Trucker George.
That other psychopath. I don't.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
him?
Those guys. Yep. That one guy said he hopes to get hit by a car. Remember
oh,
that?
Oh, right. Yeah, that was good.
That was rude.
I like that a lot. So
yeah, and guess what, buddy? My Twitter name is @SmackTownsend. Tweet me. We can set up a time and place where I can come and smack you around. Give you a little smack-a-doodle. You know what I'm saying?
Zach, I think you're just full of it.
Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. But the question is, do you feel lucky?
I did get a message this week on the voicemail, and I wanted to play it because it's from a guy named Brian, and he has an event that he's promoting. So let's listen to this. This is Brian talking about his event.
Yes, this is Brian Grafton, local St. Pete resident and human resource director for Stansia. This year, my wife Megan and I wanted to do more than just donate to a charity. So we decided to create a Halloween event with 100% of the proceeds benefiting the Breast Cancer Research Foundation and Testicular Cancer Foundation. The first annual charity gala is going to be hosted at Kazuba & Sons Distillery in the Warehouse District of St. Pete on October 27th from 7 to 11 p.m. Come join us for a night of drinks, food, dancing, costume contests, cash prizes, and surprises throughout the night. circus performers, magicians. Tickets are just $65, and that includes open bar, heavy appetizers, DJ, again, a silent auction, and a costume contest. Each year, we have new creative items and with surprises. This year's theme for breast cancer and testicular cancer is booze, boobs, and balls. So, again, all proceeds benefiting the Breast Cancer Research Foundation and Testicular Cancer Foundation. Please visit us at the following website, which is M like Mary, B like boy, G like good, charitygala.com. Again, MBG, charitygala.com, or on Facebook. Follow us there and see more about the videos, our t-shirts, and information on the charity event. So it's MBG, Charity Gala. Again, October 27th from 7 to 11 p.m. Tickets are selling out fast, so make sure you log on and purchase your tickets for, again, all you can drink, all you can eat for a fun night of Halloween. Thank you.
You going to go to the charity gala, Zach?
All right, I got a few things to say about that voicemail. So the guy is like, he's like, yeah, so it's about, it was for boobs and, you know, breast cancer and and balls.
Also for
testicles,
ball,
testicle
cancer.
But the funniest part about that is they're holding it at, I don't know if you caught this, Kazuba Distillery,
Kazuba
which sounds
distillery.
Like something you'd either call a pair of boobs, like, hey, do you see the Kazubas on that
chick? Yeah.
Or some balls, like, oh, my Kazubas!
Maybe that's why they picked it.
I think it sounds like something that, like a slang for either one of those.
It could be, absolutely.
And another thing that just realized that, just the difference in class systems, when he goes out, tickets are only $65.
Yeah, that's
he goes
a lot.
Only. I've never had. I've never. My financial situation right now is the word only and 65 do not go in the same sentence. Only $65.
Well, perhaps it's not for, you know, people in our age group or class, like you're saying. But it sounds like a
what
fun.
You mean? They're
time.
Calling boobs Kazubas. It sounds like something we do.
But it sounds like a good time. It is October 27th, 7 to 11 p.m. at mbgcharitygala.com. You can get your tickets. Only $65. So go and have a good time and heavy appetizers.
Definitely some influence or some heavy artillery on the boobs of that guy. He's like,
definitely.
He said boobs a lot.
Well, thanks for the call, Brian, and happy to, you know. Talk to you.
What are you doing for Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
I shaved my nipples for Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
I wasn't planning on doing anything, really. I know the football players all wear the pink uniforms all month long in October. So
I used to have a joke about that. Actually, that was one of the first jokes I ever wrote and did on stage.
Really?
I was so proud of it.
What was it?
It was saying, it was right after the NFL. It was, remember that year? It might have been 2 years ago or three. But it was like that year that like Adrian Peterson hit his wife.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a bunch of stuff coming out with like NFL players beat like the CTE. It's when they first stumbled upon the CTE and how it might have an effect with abuse. And like the players were hitting their wives and like players were hitting their kids and all these stories were coming out. I was like, yeah, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month in the NFL, which that means everything's pink in the NFL. The players, their socks, you know, their helmets, their jerseys are pink. Everything's pink except for the players' wives and kids. They're black and blue.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was one of the first jokes I ever wrote. I was pretty proud of it, but I could only do it for the month of October.
Do you remember the first time you ever did stand-up?
Yeah.
And how did you do? Did you?
I actually did pretty well.
Yeah?
I did, like, okay.
I
think that if I did really bad, I probably never would have done it again. Because I did really bad, like, the third time I did it.
Oh, yeah?
The first two times went, like, the first time went well, and then the second time I had, like, that confidence going into it.
Uh-huh.
And then the third time I had way too much confidence.
Now, did you expect to do well, though? Were you like, yeah,
I know it was funny, and, like, I was, like, watching people. I'm like, I knew I had jokes that I wrote.
Uh-huh.
I used to go and watch for, like, weeks. Like, I went for, like, a month straight to, like, every open mic, but I would just watch. I would hang out in the back and just watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I would write jokes, and I'd be, but I, so I knew like I was funny, and I was funnier than some of the people I was seeing. So
yeah, you had to kind of feel around, test the water,
yeah,
see what everybody
wanna,
else was
you
doing.
You want to get a feel for it, but still, I remember the first time I went up, I went up last at Double Decker in Ybor.
Uh huh. Oh, you did stand up in Tampa, not in Connecticut.
Never did
from
it in Connecticut.
Oh wow! Okay.
First time I ever did stand up was out here.
Uh huh. When did you move here?
2013, I think.
Oh, okay. And then you were living in Connecticut before
that? Been here for like 5 years, yeah.
You played Division I basketball too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Like, kind of?
Yeah.
On the practice.
College basketball,
practice
yeah.
squad.
Yeah.
For Connecticut.
Just say
too,
college
right?
basketball, yeah.
Well, you weren't like on the team,
no,
though.
No, no, no.
But you were like a guy
played,
that
like,
went
against
to practice.
Teams. Yeah, against the teams.
Did you have a jersey number?
No.
Didn't have a jersey.
No. You don't get it.
So, what? I mean, what was the, were you trying to get on the team? Was that the deal when you were, like, practicing with them?
No, that wasn't an option.
It wasn't even a thing. You no. just go and hang out.
I know. I just was the funny guy.
Because Connecticut's really, you know, solid squad.
Yeah, it's
squad.
NBA team. Like, it's, yeah. you know. I mean, I am a physical specimen. You know, don't get me wrong. Look
I could
me.
Whoop your ass in any sport.
Oh, I thought you meant in, like,
and fighting. Too, yeah. I'd whoop
like,
your
hell
ass.
You could. Bring it right now. Let's fight. Let's keep the mics on and we'll fight right now. That would be a really
good
podcast.
A great podcast. I think people would like that a
if
lot.
If we like talk crap to each other, let's like, what would your intro music be?
Darude Sandstorm.
All right. Mine would be Shawn Michaels theme song.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That is your,
can you know, why don't you pull that up for me right now?
Yeah, I can do that. Let's see here. YouTube. And then we're going to do the heartbreak.
Because I'd give you some sweet chin music. Not just because I got a huge one, but...
nice one. Oof. That's an oof
dude,
on
dude, I'll kick
yourself.
Your freak... Ooh, you know what? It's might actually, this podcast that we're talking about might happen.
Shawn Michaels theme song.
You can
all
call
right,
it
so
the Will Koontz punch out.
Here we go. This, here comes Zach to his music.
Everybody, get on your feet. It's Zach Townsend!
I know I'm sexy. I've got the look.
This is a great one.
This is a really good one. I like The Rock. The Rocks is great.
Rocks
too.
Was really good.
Can you smell?
I'll tell you the best one though.
What? I liked Stone Cold was great because it was just that screeching.
That was a great one.
That shattering.
I'll tell you what though. Are you ready for this one?
Stone Cold was not have growing
I'm
up without
an
a
ass man. Yeah, I'm an ass man.
This is Billy Gunn.
This is Billy Gunn back when he was Mr. Ass.
Yeah. I loved Billy Gunn's finishing move.
Yeah.
When he would just, he'd put your head down and he'd lift his leg up and put your leg, oh gosh.
Smash
great.
Your face into the
no,
mat.
You know who else had a great one? One more, then we're done with this. But look up Too Cool's theme song.
Too Cool theme, all right.
The Too Cool walkout. Too Cool was Scotty Too Hotty. Whose finishing move was the longest finishing move ever? It was the guy who did the worm. He like really got the worm going.
Oh, that was
Grandmaster
Grandmaster Grandmaster Sexay and Brian Christopher or something like that. Or
I think he just died.
He did. That was Jerry Lawler's son.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that. I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's too bad.
And Scotty Too Hotty's still alive. Probably one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
I
and
can tell
Rikishi.
You, though, he's. Still alive?
Rikishi is still alive, but Rikishi was in Too Cool. That was the three. There was three
right.
of them. Remember the Dudley Boys? There was the Dudley Boys, Devon
and Bubba Ray.
Bubba Ray,
yeah.
But then they had like Spike Dudley.
Yep, he's a little
they
second
had beef.
Cousin.
Those three, yeah.
This is a jam, though. The Mister, like, it's good.
It's all right. I'm telling you, play the Too Cool one. The Too Cool is great. The Too Cool one is like one that you'd listen to. Just listening to music around the house. You'd be like,
Too
Alexa,
cool.
play the theme song from Too Cool. This is, so,
this is the one
this
you're talking
is
about?
So cool. Sounds like the Keenan and Kel theme song.
It does sound very early 90s hip-hop. I guess that's what they were going for,
and they just
for,
danced
though.
Down the whole way, like, hey,
was.
Hey.
I like the Mr. Ass theme better.
And I know I'm sexy. You know I'm cool. That would be my theme song because it fits me so well. Wouldn't you agree?
I don't agree with you at all.
That's it. You know what, Koontz? Come here.
But the best one definitely is.
Yeah, how you like that, Koontz?
Of all time.
Smash your head against the table.
But we didn't get the, you got to take it back to the glass breaking. And that's the best part. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Definitely the best theme music of all time.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Undertaker's is pretty scary, too.
That was pretty good, yeah. The Rocks was good, too. You already said that. That one's good.
I can't think of Bill Goldberg's, but I loved Bill Goldberg.
Oh, Bill
so
Goldberg's
much.
Was great. Yeah, let's get Bill Goldberg up here. Bill Goldberg theme. He had a mean one. It was like a military, like a marching drum. No, this is like a remix.
Yeah, I would have recognized. First, I would recognize it once you play it.
This is it.
This was it?
Yeah, I think so.
Sounds like the Halo, the original Halo theme song.
This is it, I think.
It sounds like a really old, like, war video game.
Everybody was so hyped, though, when this
came was off. It, actually. Holy crap, now that I remember. Yeah. He used to never, he would only, there was only two ways you ever saw Bill Goldberg. He would strut his way, take his sweet time down that ramp, or he would just rush. He'd come out of nowhere, and you'd be like, oh my god! And you're a kid, you're like, oh my god, Goldberg!
I always like when they followed him, like, backstage from his dressing room, they're like, here he comes! And the music would come on, they would follow him, he'd just be smacking himself in the head.
Yeah. And like, yeah, but like, everybody in the audience is the only people who sees it. The guy in the two guys in the ring who are fighting don't see what's going on the huge screen.
Yeah.
They're like, oh god, they don't, they're talking crap like, oh, Bill Goldberg's a...
He's a puss,
yeah, he's lucky he's not here. And then they're, like, showing Bill Goldberg driving up in a limo, getting out, like, walking back, slapping around everybody he sees in the back. Everyone's, like, losing their mind, and these two guys are just still carrying on a conversation. Like, they don't see what's going on the screen.
It was always great, too, when they would, like, you know, a pay-per-view was coming up or something. They'd be talking mad stuff on whoever it was. Like, whoever was the top guy.
I think that's where I got... so good at talking crap was watching
wrestling,
but more specifically watching Stone Cold and The Rock.
But they would have to go out and work the mic, right? They would have to hype up their event. They'd be talking all this crap, and then it'd be like a Monday Night Raw, and they'd be like, yeah, at SummerSlam we're gonna take down Bill Goldberg ain't nothing. And all of a sudden the lights would dim and you just hear, and then they'd go, and they get a scared
and
look on their face.
His big bald head just walks out like, hey.
And then he'd have
you're
going to
get
there.
Speared, brother.
They have to go out there and work the mic.
What about Hulk Hogan's? What was Hulk Hogan's theme song?
Has this just become
a wrestling podcast now?
I am a real American.
Bubba the Love Sponge.
Sure did. He was full as hell, too, when he did it. No, listeners, what's your favorite wrestling theme song? 813-693-2124. I feel like we got the best ones, but yeah. I don't know.
There should be like, I wish they actually did like real music, like the guy's favorite song, or like some like ironic, like it's like a Jamaican wrestler or something. He's like, who let the dogs out?
And it was just real, the actual songs, yeah.
Or like, ladies and gentlemen, this is Mambo number 5. And it's like some Spanish guy comes out. Actually, that reminds me. You know who else is really good? Eddie Guerrero.
Latino Heat. Yeah, that was a good one. Well, you know.
That's a great nickname, too. The Latino Heat.
There's a guy that his job is making themes. That's all he does. He's a musician that works for the WWE, and he just makes themes. He makes all original music, so I don't have to worry about copyrights or anything.
Well, the World Wrestling Foundation is in Connecticut, where I'm from.
Yeah.
And this guy that my cousin knew was he's a writer for them.
Yeah.
He comes up with storylines. That's one of the best jobs. And you know what was crazy is he started as a comedian. This guy that is a
writer
for them.
Patrice O'Neill used to write for them, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's actually pretty fun. That's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
I would love to do that.
Patrice talked about it. You can find the clips. There's him talking about it on YouTube on Opie and Anthony. But he was saying how awesome it was to like ride on private jets with Vince McMahon.
Dude, that would be so much fun to write for them. Like, a writer's room in general is so, like, that's obviously what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, comedy is obviously my goal. But, like, my secondary would be, like, okay, I would, like, not do a comedy writing. I would not take a lot of comedy writing jobs if I got offered one for, like, the WWE.
Because
that would be so much fun.
I don't know what the deal was with, I know he was saying that it took up too much of his time, and apparently didn't pay him enough to stop doing stand-up.
Well, that's when WWE, he probably wasn't doing it when it was very what it is now. It's like a $1 billion industry now.
It was pretty popular.
They're bringing
even
back
then.
The XFL, I heard.
Yeah, supposedly.
That's how big of a industry. They're like, okay, you want to shut us down the first time? I'm worth the billions of dollars now. He's got to be up there with like Bezos and
No, Gates. He's not that rich. Bezos is like super, super, super rich.
Bezos
like
is a trillion.
Billions and billions.
Yeah. Close. Well, I mean, he's like, I saw something about it today. I think he's worth like $77 billion.
I think it's more than that. I think it's like $300 billion or something like that.
He's got Bill Gates beat by like $14 billion, I think.
Let's see. Jeff Bezos' net worth is, this is going to hurt your feelings. What did you say? How much did you say?
Well, just before I answer, I said $77 billion, and before you tell me this, I just want to remind you and the listeners that I was complaining about the $65 ticket price to the titty parade that guy was promoting earlier.
Right, but
go on.
Well, you can almost tack on almost $100 billion of that. $161.1 billion Jeff Bezos is worth. Bill Gates is at 98.28. Elon Musk is only at 20.6, Bill. Come on, Elon.
Yeah, but Elon Musk has, he's got his name on the flamethrower. That thing is B-A.
Is that Mark Zuckerberg? How much do you think he's worth, Facebook guy?
I don't know, 20-something bill, 20 bill.
Try 60. $60.9 billion.
What a
good
phony.
God.
Steal your lunch money, buddy.
Make sure you like the Facebook page of this podcast, facebook.com/HMB Radio. Radio St. Pete is just Radio STPETE on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at @home_made_man as well as Instagram. You're Smack Townsend, is that correct?
Yes. Smack Townsend. And follow me while you can, folks, because I'm about to delete everything because the world is gone mad. Not even the world has gone mad. I think everyone just thinks they're a comedian now, and it really, folks, it really gets under my skin.
Yeah.
When I see tweet, even when I see somebody else's tweet, I've had tweets stolen numerous times. I've got a pretty big following for doing nothing. I got like, you know, like 800, 900 followers. Whatever.
Whoa, pretty good.
I ain't gonna brag. I only follow like 100 something. So
wow.
I'm a pretty big, I'm like a B-list celebrity pretty much.
Well, C.
On Twitter at least. Yeah. But listen, folks, if you steal jokes, I just need, so perfect story. I write for the Hard Times, and some kid came up with a headline. It's pretty funny. A while back, because like we knew about the presidential text that was going out, and I think his joke was that Tiffany Trump just received the first text message ever from her father.
It's not bad.
Not a bad joke. Mm-hmm. It went viral, but then like some other kid tweeted it. It stole it from us because like you know it timestamps everything on the internet.
Right.
He wrote his like 3 or 4 minutes, and it came on my timeline, so I like posted it in the pitch group that I'm in with them, and he did it like 4 or 5 minutes after two, maybe it might have been 2 minutes,
and he got the credit for it,
and he got the credit, he got mentioned in the Huffington Post. Now that's like you guys might be like, oh well, what's the big deal? Because like as a comedian or like a kid, somebody like Matt Fernandez, who's big down here, his credits are that his tweets have been seen in the Huffington Post, or his tweets have been on Ellen.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of crazy how that's a credit that this kid can use, but he can use it now. He's like, oh, his tweet has been seen in the Huffington Post.
Mm-hmm.
So now that kid has a credit and can get bumped up, even though he's a crappy comedian.
Matt just recorded his special.
Oh, well, I'm not saying Matt's a crappy comedian. Don't.
I know you're talking about.
I'm talking about this kid who's stealing jokes.
Right.
Matt doesn't
right.
steal jokes.
No, but
I'm saying this kid can use this as a credit now. And he's a crappy. If you're stealing jokes, you're a crappy comedian.
Yeah, no, Matt Fernandez is great, and his special is coming out on the 10th, October 10th.
Yeah, I heard
he
killed it.
Free on Amazon Prime. If you have it, you can stream it, or you can buy it on Amazon for $6. So, Tampa product. Make sure you buy that, or just stream it.
I'm sure that'll get back to me now. Someone's gonna be like, "Yo, Matt, that dirtbag Zach Townsend was talking crap about you on that other Dirtbags podcast."
And that's gonna be me who sends him this clip.
Yeah, great. And so you're gonna edit it too, where I'm just like, I hate Matt, and then it's like, I would kick Matt's butt.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
Always good to hang out with Zach for a little bit. He just railed on and on after I pushed pause, but I just let him go. It's too bad we missed some gold, but you know. We'll be back again, I'm sure, at some point down the line. This week on Stay Woke, we got into, of course, we were talking about the Supreme Court justice being nominated, and Cristiano Ronaldo, famous soccer player, got in trouble. Some allegations came out against him, so we talked a little bit about that. Me Too and rape. So you're going to love it. Stay Woke is on at midnights on 102.5 The Bone here locally in Tampa Bay. You can get the app. Just download 102.5 The Bone in the app stores of your choosing. And you can listen on demand whenever you want at your leisure. Don't let us tell you when. But if you are up, it's on at midnights. So let's check out this clip from Stay Woke.
Cristiano Ronaldo. Hottie, soccer player.
Yeah.
Portuguese, perfect bod, perfect face. Yep. And one of the best soccer players in the world, if not the best. Apparently, he raped somebody in 2009. She took some hush money to be quiet about it, obviously. And now, 9 years later, she's coming out and she's saying, hey, this happened to me. He offered me hush money. I took it. And guess what? I need more money.
Yeah.
This is what happened here.
Now to this story that we have been following. Las Vegas police have reopened a sexual assault investigation involving soccer superstar Cristiano Ronaldo. The alleged victim told a German magazine Ronaldo assaulted and raped her in 2009. She claims she was paid $375,000 to keep quiet.
Oh, man. I don't want to make a joke and say I would endure a lot more for that kind of money, but I probably would.
Nikki Batiste has been looking into the woman's lawsuit. Nikki, good morning.
Good morning. Catherine Mayorga is now asking a Nevada judge to rip up the nondisclosure agreement and award her additional damages. She also says...
So is a nondisclosure agreement, I mean, is that a legal contract or...
It's like a gag order, pretty much. You can't talk about it.
Yeah, but she is. And he's saying... And she's saying...
like that abused the agreement, doesn't it?
It sure does. I mean, is that a legal offense? I mean...
I don't know. I'm not an attorney, but it seems like if you can't disclose it and you're disclosing it, that you broke the agreement.
Yeah, but I suppose because we're in the climate that we're in, that is encouraged and okay. And I don't know. I don't know how this breaks the rules, but doesn't break the rules.
You get Dom on the phone.
Yeah, well, we'll talk
hey,
to Dom
it's
tomorrow.
Dom.
Damn.
Non-disclosure. All that means is. I don't know. I do a bad Dom. I'm not an impression guy. Sorry, everybody.
I appreciated it.
Thanks. She remains traumatized by the attack, but decided to come forward in order to spare other women a similar fate.
After 3.5 minutes, and he does!
Cristiano Ronaldo is arguably the world's most famous athlete.
Will this be his World Cup?
But now the Portuguese goal scorer is playing defense against accusations he exposed himself and then sodomized this woman, Catherine Mayorga.
Okay, so sodomize, and I've looked this up a few times. I used to think it was just, you know, backdoor stuff. It's anything that's sexual that does not lead to reproduction. So if you stick it in someone's ear, that's sodomy. You stick it in someone's eye, sodomy. Between their toes, sodomy.
Yeah, it's just the backdoor. Is America's favorite form.
Of course.
Of sodomy, yes.
And the Bibles.
Teacher and part-time model. He was photographed partying with her at a nightclub at the Palms Hotel in Las Vegas in 2009. In a civil lawsuit filed Thursday, Mayorga alleges Ronaldo attacked her in his Las Vegas suite. She claims she repeatedly screamed, no, no, no. And after the assault, Ronaldo told her he was sorry. He was usually a gentleman.
Fake news.
Ronaldo denied the accusations in a since-deleted Instagram video, suggesting his fame and fortune make him a target.
Yeah, this definitely sounds, and I hate to say it, it sounds like a cash grab. Like, if she came out and said, listen, you know, I shouldn't have taken the money. I did. This happened. I want to, you know, warn other women out there, or, you know, I feel empowered, whatever it may be. But the fact that she's asking for more money. She needs more reparations for the damages. I think that is absolutely insane.
I'm sorry, too. I know this is...
Insensitive. Rude.
But if something like that happens to you and you take money for it as opposed to having that person thrown in jail, if a person is a predator and a rapist, you're doing a disservice to society by not having that person face consequences. Mm-hmm. You're kind of just a highly paid prostitute. At that point, if you're just taking money for it instead.
Yeah, I paid prostitute. I suppose. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's a transaction for, I mean, I guess it's not for the sex, but it's for, you know, to hush. It's for you to keep quiet.
And then you, I mean, and if you're going to keep quiet, then you got to keep quiet.
Yeah,
but I mean, I know it's a sensitive subject, especially now, But I just can't, I can't shake that, that feeling where it's being abused by some people. And this is an example where it's being abused.
Yeah.
If you took the money, then it must not have been that big of a deal.
And
if it, you should have pressed charges on him if he assaulted you like
right.
that.
Right.
Please.
Absolutely.
I'm begging, lady, again, if somebody does this to you, go to the cops and get press charges, please.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't wait and take money for it.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, I understand 2009 was a completely different political and social climate. Obviously, maybe she didn't feel comfortable. Obviously, that's why a lot of women are coming out now, as opposed to even like 2 years ago. This wasn't even a thing. So I understand that. But if you take money and you say you're going to be quiet about it, and then not only do you disclose, you expose the person, they can possibly go to jail, obviously, and you're suing him. So you're suing him for money, more money. I don't know. This is just, it rubs
this
me
is,
the wrong
this
way.
This is
yeah.
the bad, when people talk about some of the bad aspects of the Me Too movement, this is one of them,
mm-hmm.
where people are getting extorted for things, for behavior. Now, yes, they did wrong initially, but go again, you got to go to the cops. Stop taking money
yeah.
if you were raped.
Right.
Go to the cops.
Absolutely.
Press charges, criminal charges.
I feel like the best thing that she could have done at this point is say, listen, 9 years ago, I did something wrong. I took money. I don't want that money anymore. Give it back it or donate it. Obviously, she probably
oh,
doesn't
gone.
Have it.
It's long gone,
obviously.
Yeah.
But I mean, best case scenario, if she had that money or whatever, give it back, donate it, and say, this happened to me. I should have said something about it. I don't want any more money, but I do want to press criminal charges. And okay, I respect that. You want to investigate, see what happened. That's fine. Send that guy to jail. Don't rape him. Don't rape his wallet. Like, don't rape him for money. I think that's ridiculous. And just one last thing before we do go to break about the Me Too movement. And this is something that has actually crossed my mind a few times. It says here, there's an article that Will sent me. It says how the Me Too movement is impacting survivors' mental health. And it says here, the global reckoning on sexual harassment and assaults have prompted many people to reevaluate past sexual interactions in a new light. 37% of women and 7% of men, surveyed by Who Cares, said that they now consider a past sexual encounter to be inappropriate in the wake of Me Too. And for 83% of women, thinking about a previous encounter that, quote, crossed the line, brought on feelings of anxiety, depression, or regret. Now, I've had these same thoughts, and I'm not saying that I've ever been assaulted or harassed or anything like that. I'm not claiming to be a victim. I need to preface by saying that. But, of course, there have been a few times, which I would say most people have, where maybe people pushed a little too far, and you stopped them, or maybe you went along with it because you felt pressured or whatnot. And you just kind of thought, well, listen, I mean, guys, I don't want to say all guys, but a lot of guys will push until they're told no. And most of them stop, obviously. Mm-hmm. But they're going to cross a line of yours. It's not them assaulting. They're just attempting. And if you say, hey, not cool, I would say most guys, what, 9 out of 10? I don't know the stats, but I would say most guys, hopefully, would say, oh, my bad. Even before the Me Too movement, right?
Well, there's a difference between no and no.
Sure.
And they go, oh, geez.
Absolutely.
All right,
and I've done both. Like, I've said, oh, nope, not happening tonight. And it's always stopped. I've never been. But of course, they cross a line. And were they given consent to cross that line? It makes you think all crazy things. Of course not. But you liked whatever they were doing before. So they try a little more. And they kind of push the boundaries, which is totally normal. But as soon as you let them know where your boundaries are, they should stop, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
But, it's made me think of a few things where I'm like, man, that didn't really bother me, but should it have bothered me? Was I don't want to use the word assault or harassed, but something lesser than that, whatever that may be, you know, whether it was like a groping I didn't really like, was I ever pressured into, I wouldn't say I've been pressured into sex or anything like that, but you know, maybe something else where maybe I did something a little too soon or I didn't feel real great about it afterwards, which is my own fault. Like it was either regret or the guy was kind of gross and I was like, why did I make out with this guy? I made out with a lot of guys in college and a lot of them were gross. Mm-hmm. And I would see a picture of them on Facebook the next day and I'm like, I made out with this guy? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
What the hell?
Do I not love myself? What's going on here? Yeah, so there were a few moments like that where I was like, should I have been upset by that? But then I say, no, because I wasn't upset about it at the time. It didn't destroy me. I never really even had thoughts about it later where I felt, you know, was I harassed or assaulted? No, never. So, but it's definitely made me question, like, should I have been upset about that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a few instances, too, where I've run into some scenarios with ladies at least two times where I was uncomfortable. Now, one was out. Everybody was drinking. Well, she was drinking anyway. I think I had just gotten out. But she
you had
just
one drink.
Grabbed,
one beer.
Well, I had one beer. That's it. But she just grabbed me, and I just wasn't really into her. You know,
like the downstairs region?
No, grabbed my face and, like,
mauled you?
Kissed me, like a tongue down the throat. Ooh. Kiss. And it was, like, on the street, you know, with people watching. And I was just so, like, ah. I mean, it was... I wasn't traumatized by it, but I was like, oh, geez, I didn't want that. You know, I wasn't interested in that. And then I had one time where I had a girlfriend and we were at a party. This was when I was probably 20 years old. And a girl just kind of shut the door behind her and kind of, I could have easily just pushed her out of the way,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
So I it's different for guys.
You weren't threatened, but
I wasn't threatened,
but
I was like, what the hell? Yeah, what are you doing? Stop. Because you don't want to push a girl out of the way at a party, because then she'll go, hey, that guy just freaking pushed me, and then you gotta deal with the consequences of that. So it makes you a little uneasy, but, you know, I didn't fear that I was gonna be raped or something, so that's the difference there, of course. But it put me in an uncomfortable position I didn't like. So, I mean, this does happen, you know, quite often to people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it's definitely made me think about my past sexual experiences, whether it be, you know, the full nine or just even just making out with people.
Oh, my God.
You know, and I've had a lot of make out sessions in college. Yeah. And I think, like, what did someone push themselves on me? Should I have said no? Was I ever pressured into anything that I really wasn't on board with? And so it makes you question everything. But
I mean, if you're talking about regret being one of those things, half the sex that I've had in my life is regretful. It just is. I'm not proud of it. It's not something that I would want to do again. But, you know, it happens. It's,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Growing
yeah.
up, sowing your oats.
That's what you want to call it.
All right. There you go. Make sure you check out Stay Woke at Midnights right here. I'd 102.5 The Bone here if you're in Tampa Bay. TheBoneOnline.com. If you're not, got a bunch of great programs over there. Mike Halta Show, Drew Garabo Live, Roger and JP, Soul Brother Kevin, Johnny B Show. There's so much. Talk radio all day, so check that out. Download the Radio St. Pete app. You can get this show, all the other Radio St. Pete shows on there, TampaBayPodcast.com. There's just so much. Thanks to Zach Townsend for stopping by. You can find him at Smack Townsend on Twitter and Instagram. And thank you very much to Truvi Salon and Spa for sponsoring this podcast, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Pete. When you look good, you feel good. It's pretty simple. Make an appointment at TruviSalonAndSpa.com. That's T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, SalonAndSpa.com. And, of course, Homemade Podcasts. If you're interested in learning how to podcast, if you're an individual, you know, I can help you get started with mixers and RSS feeds and all that. Or maybe you're a company that wants to, create some sort of audio content for your website. Let me help you. Visit homemadepodcasts.com or you can leave a message at 813-693-2124. And that's going to do it for this week's The Homemade Broadcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned, because Frank Rivera's jazz show is coming up next from his music room in Dunedin, Florida. Indie Circuit's coming up after that with Mal. If you're listening on a podcast, hey, I appreciate it. You know, make sure you tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best form of advertising. And got some stickers if you'd like some. Just email me your address to thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. Radio STPETE.com. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram at @home_made_man. And I will see you next week. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. See ya later. Okay, bye-bye now. For wanting to be free, I just wanted you to know. You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.